No obligation consultation.
Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celian, 844-707-5533. Well, the markets are doing okay right now. We'll see how it goes. Doesn't matter. At 3:45 Eastern time is what really matters. We'll start watching a little bit closer. But, you know, right now we've seen this week we've seen limited volatility. We've had decent economic, we haven't had a lot of economic news coming out, but what's come out has been good. We'll see a lot of U.S.-China trade optimism. And I shudder to think what's going to happen in the markets if, you know, sometime, you know, next month we get an announcement that a trade deal has been made with China, everything's good, we're getting back to normal and so on and so forth. I can't even imagine what's going to happen on the upside. Could be pretty amazing. But nonetheless, we'll see, and hopefully that happens. I got to tell you, I am not as optimistic as everybody else is. I'm only just reporting what I am hearing, that there is optimism about U.S.-China trade. I hope that is true. I hope that continues, no doubt about it. I hope that when the delegation comes here to the U.S., to Washington, sits down, begins negotiations, I hope they, too, will extend it a couple days and extend it, and we start to get some balance of compromises on both sides. Look, there's a whole lot the U.S. has to compromise on. There's a whole lot, I would argue more, that China has to compromise. Not more in the sense of number of things, but things that are probably a little bit bigger to China to compromise on than some of the things on our end. But nonetheless, negotiation takes two people, and it takes two to work it out. And it takes a little bit of diplomacy. It takes a lot of statesmanship, which we haven't seen since, I don't know when, Ronald Reagan maybe. It takes a lot of that. We lack that. We don't have a whole lot of that in the world today. But anyway, I'm just going to take a sit back and wait and see. I'm excited about the optimistic tone that we are seeing. I do believe Asia markets are rallying on this, and that is good news. I don't know what they're saying over there, but I do know this. After Monday, the op-eds in the newspapers over there sounded somewhat harsh in the sense that they were saying just, and I'm really generalizing here, saying basically, just know, America, we will not accept everything as a one-way street, and we are going to hold our ground on certain things. Now, remember, this is China. This is communist China. This is a dictatorship. They control the media. Trust me, there's nothing that was said in the op-eds that somebody didn't want to hear. You read an op-ed in the New York Times, with the exception of the dictatorship of the editorial board, there's not a whole lot that is dictated to. They can say pretty much whatever they want. So this is China. So it's controlled by the government. So when I saw that, I was a little, they're making sure. Now, maybe it is more lip service to save face for the Chinese government. I hope that's what it was. That's what I kind of suspect it was. I hope it is. But then to see the next day, to see another higher-level delegate show up at the meetings, and then to get extended again another day for Wednesday, it would be in their time. That's now over. But to get extended another day, I think that's a huge reason to feel very confident. Not because of what President Trump is saying, but or our Commerce Secretary or anybody else, but because of what's being said in China. So that's good news. Hopefully we're making some headway, and we'll see how that lands. But right now, not only the China market's optimistic, the U.S. market's optimistic, but obviously the European market, because the European markets, they don't have any other reason to be optimistic. They've got, again, a report coming out of Germany's exports down unexpectedly. Manufacturing was down unexpectedly yesterday. We saw manufacturing down in other countries like France, Italy, and Spain. Look, they don't have a lot to be optimistic about. They don't have a lot of stimulus they can do. So, anyway. But yet their markets are up on U.S.-China deal because they know how important it is. The two largest economies in the world coming together on a trade deal. So those kinds of things do give me a certain level of optimism. But we shall see. All right, so we've got, when we talk about these Chinese negotiations, I wonder what's going to happen with the ag commodities, with pork, with soybean, with wheat, corn. Corn looks like they took it on the chin yesterday. We'll see what Craig says. But we are so grateful to have Craig Hauger with us every day as a part of the Financial Issues team. He is a blessing. Here comes Craig with the Ag Report, and then we'll be right back after that.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, favorable rains in Argentina, coupled with profit-taking, had the corn market on the defensive yesterday. Technical traders were quick to point out that yesterday's price action put in a key reversal lower in both the old and new crop contracts, and that could lead to additional technical selling pressure. In the overnight trade, however, that technical pressure is not showing up, as we have spot corn futures trading 2 cents higher. Trade discussions between the U.S. and Chinese officials have been unfolding in Beijing since Monday. Yesterday, China released a statement that they are permitting 5 new GMO crops. 2 canola varieties, 1 corn, and 2 soybean varieties are now cleared for import. That's indicative, perhaps, that we're making some good progress in the trade talks. Reports indicate that these trade talks will be extended an extra day through today, January 9th. Now, in spite of this positive news, soybean prices ran out of steam yesterday as technical selling after 4 consecutive sessions of gains entered the market. In South America, it appears as if Brazil should continue to see scattered showers across its growing regions this week. Below average precipitation in key growing areas could affect overall production, and dryness concerns remain a big concern in that nation. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are bouncing back from yesterday's losses and trading up 3 cents as I record this. Wheat traded higher for the session as traders expect optimism that the U.S. is going to capture an increased share of the export market. That higher trade has continued in the overnight with Chicago, Kansas City, and Minneapolis all up a nickel. Cotton futures gave up the majority of the previous 2 days' gains yesterday. At the close, the March cotton futures were down 108 points as they closed at 71.67. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are snapping back and trading up 94 points as I record this. Livestock futures were higher straight across the board. February live cattle were up $2.10. Feeder cattle had a good session as well, with March feeders up $1.55. And lean hogs finished out that good day for livestock futures, as we had February futures finishing the day up 70 cents in the lean hogs. Class 3 milk futures slipped once again, with February Class 3 milk futures ending the day down 16 points to close at 14.41. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 30 cents lower at $213.98, while selects were 95 cents lower for the day as they settled at $207.26. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 40 cents lower for the day as they closed out the day at $70.16. This has been Craig Haugard with your
In November of 1620, the pilgrims came to America with the hope of building a civilization that would one day be a shining city on a hill. At the American Family Association, we believe that dream is still worth fighting for. We believe that marriage was instituted by God, that families are worth preserving, and that every human life is worth protecting. We are the American Family Association. Who can find a virtuous wife? She's worth far more than rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She brings him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night and provides food for her family. She extends her hand to the poor. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
Faith and values shouldn't be compromised by the way we invest. Our faith and values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
And there's such a peace and joy knowing that God is answering our prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you are welcome to do that. Right now, all the indices up about a half of 1%. That's where they've been all day. Haven't changed much, but nonetheless, that's where we are. So Mike Pompeo traveling through the Middle East. So we'll see what's going to come out of that. I'm very interested about how we continue to handle what is happening in Saudi Arabia and around Saudi Arabia. I am very concerned about our departure out of Syria. I'm worried about Israel and worried about showing some sort of lack of support for Israel. I think we need to be very cautious and conscious about that. But anyway, he is there, so we'll see if we get any kind of... I think he's in Jordan now. I'm not sure where he's going after Jordan, but we will watch that. There is continued support for Jordan and Israel that the Democrats are trying to get rid of. Again, this is twice in one day. I'm mentioning Marco Rubio. Who would have thought? But Marco Rubio, you know, explaining this idea of BDS, and I've talked about that at length for a long time, but... You know, we have condemned that, but now the Democrats want to make it optional. And I don't think that's possible. I don't think we can do that. And we shouldn't do that. This is our only, I know we say we have a lot of allies in the Middle East. We only have one. That's it. Israel's it. There aren't any others. I'm talking about allies, true friends. So, interesting. And that bill that they don't care much about does impact Jordan as well. So we'll watch out. We'll see what happens. All right, folks, I did mention to you about the retreat. And I just want to say once again, as I get a comment about the conference, it's not a conference. And there's not going to be 400 people there. We're not having, 22 speakers. It's not a conference. It's not a seminar. It's not a town hall meeting. It's a retreat. Now, understand, a lot of people don't really know what a retreat is these days, but it's a good old-fashioned retreat. It's a time where we come together for fellowship. We come together as like-minded people. We're going to sing praises to God. We're going to hear God's word from cover to cover. We're going to hear the inerrant word of God being taught to us on a topic that is going to be taught to us in an amazing way. And I want to tell you, just that alone from Dr. Woodrow Kroll is worth the price of a mission. So I sure hope you'll be there, and I hope you'll click on the website at financialissues.org, watch the video, check it out, and come see us. We're going to be in the Dallas area. Let me go to Randy. Randy and Susan from Texas.
Hey, Dan, how you doing this
Who
morning?
Who is it? Randy? I'm good, Randy. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to give a deal on the retreat, Dan.
Okay.
To tell your audience out there, the best way to describe the retreat is total restoration. You get nourished physically and spiritually, and it's so neat to get to meet people like Marty and Jenny Getz, Woodrow Kroll and Linda, and all the people from all parts of the country. And Dan and Yvonne are special people, and everybody knows that, and they're a special, their friendship is a special gift to Susan and me from God. And you can meet them, too, if you'll come to this retreat. If you need to renew and refuel and restore yourself completely, come to this retreat. You'll never regret it. God bless you, Dan, and give Yvonne a hug for us.
Do the same with Susan, and thank you. Thank you so much, Randy. I appreciate your friendship. God bless you, and thank you.
God bless.
And there's nothing... Thank you, Randy. I'll talk to you. You know, there's nothing special about Yvonne and I other than we do love the Lord. But I will say this. What Randy said is it is... You know what? We selfishly do this retreat because we're not... You'll notice that Yvonne and I aren't running around crazy. We're sitting there just sucking it all in, man. We're sitting there. People say, well, are you going to speak? I don't know. I'm just kind of an MC, man. I'm going to get up and say hello and welcome everybody. But no, this is about a time that I want to retreat. I want to sit there. I want to sing praises, and I want to listen and take notes and open my Bible like so many other people. And it is a time, as Randy said, to rejuvenate. And if you need that, man, there's no better place to do it. And I hope you'll come out. Man, it's right there in the Dallas area, Gaylord Texan Resort. We've never been there. I've been there, but I've never had a retreat there. Our retreat's usually in Branson. So we'll probably be back to Branson after this. But it is, it's a great place, and we're so excited about it. And especially register if you're going to stay there, because we have limited rooms. So if you're going to stay there, if you live in the area and you're going to commute, then register. But if you're going to stay there, you know, register online and then call the hotel to get your rooms before they fill up. So anyway, I sure hope you'll do it. It's great stuff. I appreciate Randy giving that testimony, man. That's a blessing. Let me go to Thomas. Thomas calling us from Indiana. Hey, Thomas.
Good morning, Dan. I know we have a little bit of a delay, so I'll just ask my closed-in question and let you explain. Yesterday, you mentioned Sears, but I don't recall if you mentioned the retirees. My question is, if Sears does go out totally out of business, do those retirees lose their entire pension?
No, they do not, and they won't. They won't lose their retirement, their pension. Their pension, so a pension is not considered into a bankruptcy or a reorganization. It's not allowed to legally. So that's segregated, and no creditors can, you know, lean that, come against that, or change that. Now, in Sears' case, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm suspecting that in Sears' case, they probably have already, I would suspect many years ago, got rid of their pension. I would suspect many years ago 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I don't know this. I should look and find out. And I will. Maybe tomorrow I'll try to have a more definite on that. But so many companies now. There was a time many years ago when pensions plans were an asset to a corporation. So 25 years ago, 20 years ago, that changed. And when other companies were looking to buy corporations or things like that, they looked at their pension as a liability, not as an asset, because frankly they were a liability, long-term liability, and maybe even an unfunded liability, but a long-term liability. So most companies that were still paying pensions. So my wife is a retired nurse. She gets a small pension from the hospital that she worked at for a lot of years.
Right.
But the pension plan that she gets a small pension for was frozen 15 years ago. They did away with it. So because she was there so long, she still got it. But they sold that. They sold that, I think, to MetLife. They didn't sell it. They gave it to them. They got some money for it, I'm sure, but they gave it to MetLife. So no matter what would have happened to that hospital, the pension would have still flowed because it didn't belong to them. You know, MetLife took on the ownership of that. I suspect Sears is a similar situation. If you are a Sears pensioner, you can call me and let me know that. But I'll do a little research and find that out. But even if that is not the case, the PBOC, which is a government agency that handles that, is going to certainly step in to make sure that that's clean and, you know, that's not going to be an issue. One would hope. One would hope. So, yeah, that's probably how that's going to end up. Thank you for that. Let me go to Cole. Cole calling us from Texas. Hey, Cole.
Hey, good morning. I was wondering, the mutual funds in my company's 401k are not biblically responsible. Would it be wise to take a loan from my 401k and get as much money of that as I can, biblically responsible, partner with you, and try to get some of that money in the right places?
Does your company match what you do, what you put
they
in?
They do. I put in 6%, they match 4%.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you could do that, but here's the downside. The downside would be, Cole, if you do that, you took a loan, you borrowed as much as they let you borrow out, which at best would be 60%, and you borrowed that out. If you leave that company for some reason, or even if you got laid off from that company, you would have to pay that loan back to yourself. You're paying it back to yourself. You're putting it back in your account. But you would have to do that, or it's going to become a early distribution to you, which means it's going to be taxed. And if you're under 59.5, it's going to be taxed and penalized 10%. So that's one risk that you need to think about. Of course, You're getting that biblically responsible. That's a great thing, but of course, when you pay it back, you ought to think about where your payback is going into, and you might want to pay it back through one of their, if they have a government bond fund or something like that. I'm not a fan of bond funds, but if they're government bond funds, it makes it a little bit more sense, and you know, at least that'll be biblically responsible. But I think it's an okay plan, but I would leave it up to you. You know how you feel from a security perspective in that company, or, you know, you may be looking for another job, in which case you wouldn't want to do it because that loan may not be transferred to transferable, and chances are your company's not going to let you keep it there, and that could be a problem. But okay. I think all in all, I think it would be an okay thing to do.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Cole. Yep, you too. 844-707-5533. We've got lines open. We've got an hour and a half left. 844-707-5533. Financial issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. And let me tell you something, folks, you ought to be partnering with the ministry.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher mortgage payments. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates so you can buy a home with certainty. It's called Rate Shield, and here's how it works. With Rate Shield, you can lock your interest rate while you shop for a new home. So if rates go up, you don't have to worry. And here's the best part. If rates go down, you get the lower rate. With Rate Shield, we really have you covered. Here are more reasons why you'll want to work with America's largest mortgage lender. For 9 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the fifth year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Rate Shield. Another way we can save you money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records, Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that?
I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way so you can feel empowered and then help others at home or in your office. Better yet, don't have time for tech support to come to you? Let us remote into your desktop or laptop, and one of our geeks will instantly walk you through. Call 1-800-584-9039, and we will help you instantly. We offer affordable prices on our remote services and IT support. You and those in your office will never have to wait hours to have your technical questions answered. Get your free computer diagnosis today with your very own geek. Call 1-800-584-9039. That's 1-800-584-9039. And get started now.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Financialissues.org today. Grow your money God's way.
Finch says, pointed out a great point about the speech last night. He said one of the things, or she said, one of the things to see was the interesting, President Trump pointed out that building the wall is roughly 1% of what illegals drain out of our resources every year. 1% of what they drain out every year. Think about that. So one, just, you know, he didn't do this, but just to take that mathematically over... Well, you don't have to take it over 5 years or 10 years, but basically the wall's paying for itself. I'm sure that mathematically you can come up with a number of illegals that can't come in anymore in order to get us to a break-even point on building the wall and when that might happen. So maybe it takes a year and a half for that number to happen. Maybe it takes 2 years. And yes, it's hard to quantify because you never really know. But I think the exercise of the assumption is a good one. And I guess I'll wait it out because I suspect that Heritage Foundation or some conservative think tank is going to come up with a number on that. So interesting. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Cindy. Cindy's calling us from Oklahoma. Hey, Cindy.
Hi, Dan. I am a new
partners, and I went for the higher membership, so I have the asset allocation model and all that. I'm new to all this. I don't have a financial advisor. I opened an account with Fidelity, and so I'm wondering if, you know, it would be better to get somebody from Fidelity or just try to do this on my own. I have an IRA account, a traditional with them, that I transferred some stuff from a bank. I've got just about $13,000 there. I've got a Roth I opened up there, and I'm going to put another, you know, $6,500 in. So I have about $7,000 there. I'm soon to be 60 years old. And then with my employer, I've got maybe about $20,000, but they are not biblically responsible. They use All American funds. So I think it's Edward James. So right now I have like half going into the 2030 fund and half going into just, I guess, like the Bond Fund of America. So I'm kind of needing to know how to start. Like, do I take the asset allocation model and, like, take all the percentages, you know, figure out what amount, like what percentage I need to put in each one and you know, and start investing, like pick some from each sector and, you know, try to fill out that pie chart. I guess I need guidance on how to just get started with my money.
Yeah, I think I would rather you get started this just the way you outlined, to take a look at the allocation model and say, okay, I've got to put whatever, 5% in whatever, energy. And you look at what 5% is. I don't, you know, at it, you total up all your money in those accounts, and you say 5% of that is X amount of dollars. And I would look and say, okay, there's, you know, this stock, one stock, large cap, try to stick to large and mid cap stocks that are on the buy list there in energy. So this 5% that I need to put in there is, you know, $2,000. So I'm going to put $1,000 in one and $1,000 in another. And then move on to the next sector. Now, the next sector might be consumer staples. And you look and you say, well, there are no consumer staples. That's okay. Skip it. That allocation just stays there in your money market account. Then go on to the next allocation, and it might be consumer discretionaries, and you look and you say, well, there's none on the buy list. So that's okay. Set that money aside. Two, let's just leave it alone. Next one might be technology, and you say, okay, well, there's plenty of those on there, and I've got to put 7% in that. I'm making all these numbers up, so you don't need to remember them because they're not right. But, you know, so now I got 7%, so I'm going to take that 7% equals $2,200, and I'm going to put that $2,200, you know, a little bit in this and a little bit of that. So that's basically what you're going to do. The beauty of you doing this now and doing this by yourself is that you've got a, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. There's going to be a longer, aside from the learning curve, there's going to be a longer comfortable curve, getting comfortable with the idea that you're actually doing this and feeling comfortable and understanding it. So that's going to take a while. But the beauty of this is by the time that you're maybe now you're going to go down to part time, you're not working at this job, you're not going to work at all, whatever the situation is, you're going to feel really comfortable. And you're going to be able to consolidate, because that's exactly what you'll do. You'll take your 401k at work. You're going to consolidate that into your IRA and any other IRAs you have out there, and you're going to put them into one, and you'll feel real comfortable with the way, you know, it works with Fidelity, how the trading platform works, and how the system on our website works, and you'll be able to track it and keep a good eye on it. So I think it would be wise to get started. You know, there's no sense of urgency. There's nothing that says, so once you get the money over into your Fidelity account, it's sitting there in a money market account. You know, there's no sense of urgency. You don't have to hurry up and get it done. Just peck away at it. Take your time, and you'll start to get a good feel for it.
Well, and okay, another thing I didn't mention, I'll have about $20,000 cash too. So between the IRA, the Roth, and then the cash, I'll have say $40,000. So do I invest it all at once? Do I divide it up over like so many months? You know, and take a chunk and do each month, because I've heard you say that before too, that you don't do it all at once. Or should I just do it all this month, or, you know, should I divide it up, and how should I do that?
Get it all into the account. So it's not going to be invested, because when it comes over, it's going to be sitting in a money market account. So it's like sitting in the savings account at the bank or wherever it is. It's not going to be all invested. And then, yes, start working on all of it. But I would qualify that by saying, if the $20,000 that you have in cash, is that your emergency fund?
Now, I guess I do need, that was another question. How many months should I have, like, just cash set aside, I guess, for an emergency fund? And is that just sitting there,
yeah, so
or do I put it in, like, CDs or what?
Yeah, the only thing you do with emergency funds is either put it in a CD or leave it just, you know, sitting there in some sort of savings account. But you don't invest it. And it really depends on where, you know, if you feel pretty confident about your, if you feel very confident about your job, hey, look, I'm going to have it as long as I want it. I'm not concerned about getting laid off. I don't have any debt. Or I've got a lot of debt, you know, whatever your situation is. If you, you know, if it really depends. I don't think there's any real cookie cutter approach. Do you own a home, Cindy?
I owe about, say, $58,000 on my mortgage.
Okay.
But really, my
so you have to think about
the only debt I have.
So you have to think about, well, what do I do if the roof leaks and I got to fix it? Do I have money for that? So that's what your emergency fund is for, so you can stay out of debt. You don't have to get in debt to fix your roof or to put a new heater in or something like that. So that may be more important, because you don't have as much concern maybe about losing your job and not having income. So I don't know what that looks like for you. Probably, you know, maybe $10,000, maybe $15,000, but I would make sure that you don't invest your savings, that emergency fund. That should just be sitting in your bank. You can put it in a CD, get a little bit of interest, but I don't want to risk a situation where you could need it and the market is down and what you haven't invested in is now down and you're forced to sell something that is down to get a little money. That's why we separate savings from investing. They're two different things.
Yeah. Well, and at this point, I probably will be working until I'm 70, you know, to take advantage of the Social Security and all that. But so I wanted to get started on it, and my job's pretty secure. I feel pretty good about, you know, I'll have that for a while. I don't have to worry about that.
Good.
I just needed some confidence, you know, in getting started, I guess. And did you say I should divide up, say, the $20,000 and do like $7,000 each month for 3 months, or go ahead and invest all $20,000 in my in Fidelity in 1 month?
Yeah, I think now I would just work on getting it all invested over the next month or so.
Okay. And since I'll be doing it myself, like, how much time do I need to plan to devote, like, daily to keeping up?
You don't
with,
need to.
You know, what's going on and all that, so I don't miss stuff.
Yeah. You don't have to. You don't have to devote any time to it. I mean,
just
you're going
to
get. You're going
to
get. If you've got to sell something, you're going to get an alert from me. If you want to look at the website in the morning before you leave the house, just to see if there's anything, you know, that you might want to know about. But I wouldn't be looking at your account. I wouldn't be concerned about that. I mean, just try to listen to a conference call when you get home at night or whatever. But, you know, try to stay up on what's going on there. But I wouldn't be stressing about spending a lot of time. There's not going to be any management. You have to spend a little time maybe 10 minutes to buy a stock. Someday that'll be 2 minutes. It's not going to take you a lot of time to do that. But you'll look and you'll know what you have to.
I pray that I can be a great role model for him. I pray that in these trying times that I can lead him in a way that I know will leave a godly imprint on his heart forever.
And to show her how to live a life that is pure. I want her to understand how precious life is and to
take care of his body. To eat right and exercise and understand that his body is a temple of God.
I pray that our family will love Jesus, read his word daily, and obey his teaching.
The values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
It's cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Why not bank with a trusted partner that shares your values and beliefs? Christian Community Credit Union. Your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. Folks, we've got another hour and 15 minutes left, 844-707-5533. If you got a question on Facebook, YouTube, you can put that on. We'll get to that next hour for sure. 844-707-5533. But again, now's a good time because we have lines open. So cue your call. 844-707-5533. I want to mention all of you, too, before I take this next call. You know, make sure you have the phone app, Financial Issues. Go to your app store. Go to Financial Issues. I want to talk. I want to mention one thing that this is kind of disappointing. But so many millennials, there's an article out in the Wall Street Journal talking about how many millennials are plagued by medical debt. And listen, if you're a young person and you don't have health insurance, you are absolutely out of your mind if you don't call Samaritan Ministries. Get involved. They have a health sharing ministry. If you're single and you're young, even if you're married and you're young, man, they have a great plan. You don't have to get their, you know, top of the line plan. They have a plan that is a catastrophic plan so that you can't get in this astronomical medical debt. So you've got to insure. They're not insurance, it's health insurance, it's health sharing, but you've got to insure the risk that you have, and you do have a risk. Look, you could fall at work off a loading dock, break your leg with two compound fractures that require three surgeries, and before you know it, you could have $50,000 worth of debt. And the workman's comp company at work is saying, oh, no, that's not our fault. We're not covering it because you knew the loading dock was there. You work on it every day. You should have never fallen. We think that was your fault. You weren't paying attention. We're not going to pay it. So now you've got $50,000 worth of debt. It makes no sense. It is inexpensive to get involved in health sharing. You've got to do it. And when I read this article, you can find it. It's in today's Wall Street Journal. But when I see this article and, you know, this notion of, so they're saying that the average medical debt that a 29-year-old has, so they took 29 years old that have medical debt, the average is $20,000. That's the median. So, you know, it could be a lot higher than that, could be lower than that, but that's, you have $20,000 is a lot of debt. And it can really mess your credit up and so on and so forth. But look, you've got to cover that risk, and you do it through Samaritan Ministries. And I hope that if you're a young person, if you're a millennial, and you don't have insurance, that you're going to pick the phone up right now, 877-764-2426. That's their phone number. If nothing else, say, can you give me a little help? They're great people. They'll talk to you as long as you want. But say, hey, look, you know, tell me about your plans. Tell me how it works. Tell me how the whole health sharing situation works. It is an amazing ministry, something my wife and I have been using. February, I think it'll be 4 years we've been on it. So it is amazing. 877-764-2426. Don't become this statistic of having $20,000, $40,000, $50,000 worth of medical debt that is going to make your life burdensome and mess up your credit. All right, let me go to Steve. Steve's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir. I'm going to run this off to you real quick because I can't hardly hear this phone, and I'll catch your answer on the radio if you answer it. I was wondering why our religious leaders, like the one you're talking about for your retreat, and people like Dr. Jeremiah and stuff like that, why they don't get together and form a little, I don't know, posse member to go up to like the White House and consult with the president or whoever in the upper echelon that they can, and talk to them about like our abortion, the wall, LBGABC, whatever they are, you know, and cover us. And I'll get off the air and let you go ahead and answer.
Okay, Steve.
Thank you.
Okay, Steve. Thank you. So, Steve, they do that, believe it or not. They do it regularly. Now, you have to understand, of course, they can only do it when they're invited, you know, and there are many of them that have great relations with President Trump. They have all, the ones that I know, Robert Jeffers and others that I've talked to, so they have all talked to President Trump about the abortion situation, Planned Parenthood, and funding that, and all those kinds of things, prayer and school and so on and so forth, all those things. And they do that on a very regular basis. And I would submit to you, more regular than what has been from a lot of other presidents. So that is going on. We don't hear a lot about it. I am not sure why. I know about it because I talk to some of them. They tell me about it. But we don't hear about it. Media would never address it. They don't pick it up because that plays into his base, and they don't want to do that. But a lot of times, they don't necessarily want it to be a media event, either the president or anyone else. So, but I'll tell you, this president has had more of our godly leaders of this nation before him than any president I can remember or know of. So, you know, every holiday meeting you have, you know, Franklin Graham and, you know, so many other people that are close to this president that have strong convictions about what we need to do. And they don't hold back because this president doesn't have a problem hearing what they have to say. So I think a lot of that is going on, a lot more than I know about, a lot more than the average person knows about, that is for sure. So all we can do is hold them up. If we don't have to know them by name, God knows who they are, but if we lift up our godly leaders that are meeting with the president, that the president would have an open ear and soft heart when he hears them. If we just pray about that on a regular basis as we pray for our leadership, I think that'll go a long way. But it is going on, and it is happening, so that's the good news. Let me go to Nona. By the way, our phone lines are open. 844-707-5533 from Alaska. Nona, how are
you? Good morning. I'm doing well.
Good morning. Very early morning for you. I'm good. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
On December 1st of last year, my mom passed away, and she was very smart in many ways, especially financially, and she left me a good bit of inheritance, and I'm not real sure what I need to do with the items that she left. I want to make sure that I gather the godly wisdom I need to make her items grow and grow God's kingdom. I emailed Pat O'Toole, or I emailed you, and Pat O'Toole said for me to call you and share the items with you. Maybe you'd be able to give me some wisdom.
I will tell you, not even knowing all the different breakdown, I would say this to you, that the first thing I would say, and I say this to everybody, number one, don't do anything. Don't talk to anybody. Don't allow anybody to talk to you. People in the life insurance business that maybe know, maybe you got some life insurance proceeds. The bank, as those deposits get in there. The inherited IRA, as the one thing you can do if you have an inherited IRA, is just make sure the title is changed so that it is an inherited IRA. But I would not make changes for a year. I mean, I really feel like oftentimes when we make changes under those circumstances, they're emotional. And part of that emotion is that we hold very dear. Let's say you have a stock portfolio. We hold very dear the stock positions and so on and so forth that your mother had. And we say, well, I don't want to sell those. And we allow our emotions to maybe get in the way of what we should do for us at our age, where we are, our circumstances, and we've got to take that into account, but we lose the ability to do that when our emotions get caught up. I've had people that have had some of the worst stocks in the world for them that have said, I just can't sell them. I know I should. It's horrible, but, you know, my father loved that company. Well, but, you know, your father's been going 20 years. You're in a very different situation now, and that company is in a very different situation. So things change, obviously. So I would be cautious that you maintain things as they are and that you be careful, very, very careful, about who you talk to over the next year that might steer you in a direction, and you might be easily steered because of the emotion. There is no real reason that you need to do anything. If there is something that you don't like and you don't want, cash it out and put it into a CD for a year. And then when it comes due, sit down, call me, and we can talk about it then. But I just feel that. Now, I'll put you on hold. If you want to stay on hold, feel free to do that. We'll get you at the top of the next hour But I got to run right now. If you've got to leave us, folks.
Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.